GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. Some of these listeners are just itching to ask their flea questions Dr. David Cloutier of the VZ Vet Clinic online at vzvet.com. He's behind the BPG over in spacious Studio 7A. Let me find some of the first of the questions that came in about fleas. You say you're seeing some fleas right now?
Yeah, I'll crawl over to the mic and try and answer some of those itchy questions. Yeah.
Why do you think you're seeing more fleas?
Just luck of the draw. But there's definitely, I've seen several patients recently with fleas. And there's probably two reasons. One is, for a long time, we had the luxury of very, very effective flea products. And so when I first got out of veterinary school, we didn't really have any new compounds. So what we used for fleas were kind of the same old compounds that the fleas had really become less susceptible to. So we used to have literally the tractor trailer truck offload pallets of sprays and all this stuff that we used. Yeah. And then some new products came out and that just disappeared. We didn't have to do that anymore. Well, that was 20 something years ago. So now those 20 something year old products don't work anymore. So people are still relying on them and purchasing them, not realizing that they really don't work anymore. And because they're available over the counter, people use them. They say, oh, you know, I've done everything. It's like, yep, you've done everything except for the things that will work. Mm. And so there are new compounds out that are very effective, and you just have to switch to those.
Okay. Here's one of the texts. Mm. Okay. Just how does the edible flea and tick stuff work? And is the family going to be okay when used on our snuggle hounds?
Yeah, so previously we had, sprays, collars, things like that, or little tubes of topical liquid. And the little tubes of topical liquid work well. The upside of them, it's a small volume. It kind of spreads under the coat. So you don't contact a lot when you're touching your dog or cat. However, if I can give a pill and the compound's more internal, the risk to family members touching them is less. And people are like, yeah, but I'm putting a chemical in my dog or my cat. Keep in mind, as soon as you put it inside them, it is now considered a drug, which means it has to go through the Food and Drug Administration, which in the United States is the most difficult process to get through, and the amount of safety measures that have to be there. When you're talking about a chemical, a topical, a little tube of liquid, a collar, something like that, it does not go through FDA. It goes through the Environmental Protection Agency. So they're interested in protecting the environment, not necessarily the dog or cat. So safe for the dog and cat if you're using an oral. Mm. The compound is in their skin. Fleas and ticks contact it, or in the case of fleas, as soon as they bite the dog or cat, they're going to be dead. So they're very effective. The new ones are very effective.
Mm. It's been a long time quite a few years now since I've owned a dog, but I can remember having some kind of liquid that I'd have to spread the fur and get it to the skin and squirt it, and had to do it every so many months.
Right. So the vast majority of those compounds are now many, many years old. If you think of when we invent a new compound to use for insects, whether we're spraying crops or our yard or whatever, over a period of time, they lose their effectiveness. If we're using 20-year-old compounds, they've long since lost their effectiveness.
So this person asks, are we breeding super fleas?
Well, you are, depending on how you do it. So, we've been using insecticides on pests for a long time. But every time we invent something new, if we use it at a high enough dose that you kill all of them, or you pair it with a growth inhibitor, then you dramatically increase the length of time it'll work. But most people don't do that. And what they also do is put something on and then don't add anything. So all of a sudden, the fleas are in the presence of that chemical at a low level, a low enough level that the flea lives, and that's where eventual resistance comes from.
This person writes, but topical, how safe for dog?
So again, the topicals that are out there, safe. We've had them for a long time. They're not as effective as they once were. So switching to an oral, if you have fleas, the newer oral compounds are going to be more effective. The exception to that is they took one of those new compounds, because cats don't really take to being pilled easily. So they took one of those.
No, they don't.
They do not.
They don't. They don't swallow it.
No, they do.
No, they're
that is a shocker.
Pill pockets. No. Put them in their mouth, hold them, then go to them, and then they have to swallow it. That seems to be the best way. But man, do they get angry?
You go to the vendor hospital, and we make it look easy, and go home and try it. It's not so easy. But anyway, so there's one of the oral new compounds is made into a topical for cats, but the pills for dogs, definitely the way to go.
Here's the other flea question that came in. This person's got a twofer for you here. First, what can I use for a flea treatment on a 12-week-old kitten? Does age factor in what flea treatments exist?
Absolutely. So, and that's one of the things that you're going to ask your veterinarian when you go in, what's safe. Interestingly, it's difficult to always answer that question because in the United States, I don't believe it is legal to do any type of pharmacologic study on a kitten or a puppy less than 8 weeks of age. So how do you get a compound approved for an animal really young if you can't do a study on them? So that's hard. So some of the compounds that we have are labeled in Europe, Australia, other countries at a younger age than they are here. And sometimes as a veterinarian, if you know that, you can extrapolate that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But you got to trust your veterinarian on that. Otherwise, follow the directions on the package. Mm-hmm.
The twofer question becomes, also, I have a 10-year-old English bulldog. I'm sorry, can we pause right there? Because the vision we have in our head is he's got one of those little bowler hats on and a vest and cane walking around. Female. Oh, so forget the hat and the cane and everything. Yeah. And I just got two new kittens for my little girls. And my bulldog is having a real problem getting used or dealing with the kittens. What should I do?
Well, use it. So those kittens may be a pest if they're, you know, trying to get the bulldog to play with them. But the good news is, the kittens probably can move a lot faster than the bulldog. So they'll kind of take care of themselves for the most part. And so if there's a lot of chasing around and mayhem in the house, sometimes I'll put baby gates up, but I will raise the baby gate up off the floor by 6 inches. So the kittens come and go under the gate.
Oh, genius.
And the bulldog just smacks into the gate as he slides into it. So
that's so entertaining in itself.
There's a lot of goods in there, but if I'm putting the baby gate on the floor and the cat's got to jump up and over it, that's hard for them to do. But baby gate up off floor, they just scamper right under it. But also, like the dining room table with all the chairs pushed in, the kittens can run in and out of there, and the bulldog's not really going to navigate that. They're not really known for speed and agility. Not really the Ferrari of dogs. More like the Freightliner of dogs.
No cheetahs. No, doesn't have the cheetah movements.
No. Double truck reference today.
That's good. When the flea pills first came out, I can't remember the brand, but since it's been pulled off the shelves, but the vet gave it to my chocolate lab within seconds of consumption. You could physically see the fleas falling off the dog when you ran through his fur. Unfortunately, the next morning, My dog's heart stopped. He was perfectly healthy. I believe that pill that since been pulled off the shelves had something to do with it. Wow.
So one of the most difficult things for all of us is, and this is a hard statement for me to make to this individual, but just because I believe something really strongly doesn't mean it's actually true. So, and the reality is there's so many things at work, and there's such a big dynamic. The flea product, the flea pill that was pulled off the market, if it's the one I'm thinking of, it was pulled off the market just because their sales weren't what they wanted it to be, not because it was unsafe. So there's products like that all the time that are great, that are safe, and they've just fallen out of favor and they're just not selling enough of it. It's just not worth making anymore, so they pulled off the market. But also sometimes it's not even off the market. It's just not at the retailer where you buy it. So yeah, there's flea products that work very quickly, very effectively. But what else was happening in that patient or in that dog? And so it's perfectly natural to say, well, I gave the pill last night and now my dog's passed away. That's gotta be the reason. There is a time there and, but is there a cause and effect? So they write back.
Correct. I have no evidence that the pill was the cause. It could be just an exceptional coincidence.
Right. So coincidence versus cause and effect is hard to separate, especially when something emotional, like I just lost my dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Papa Bear points out to you that perhaps the better name for instead of Freightliner is the Ferrari.
Ooh, I like that. Ferrari. So he's not a Ferrari. He is a Freightliner.
Freightliner. Yeah. And Marty wants to know, is it true that bulldogs cannot swim? I never heard that bulldogs cannot swim.
I never heard that. That sounds like urban legend.
Oh. I'm actually going to I'm
going to Google that and see it.
You know, either this computer is listening to our conversation, but I just wrote can, B-U-L, and it finished, can bulldogs swim? And bulldogs don't swim well and will die fast in a matter of seconds. It's always a safe choice to use a life vest on your bulldog while you're with him swimming or near a water source. His weight may prevent you from holding him up on a rescue. A swimming life vest prevents that.
So if you ever, and it's kind of fun to watch this, put a mask on. If you're swimming with a dog, put a mask on and kind of dive down underneath it and watch a dog swim. They use their hind legs almost none. It's all their front legs are going.
Well, there's your trouble.
And so you look at that bulldog with that huge chest and he's got a giant head and he's trying hard to swim and those legs are just not that athletic and well-designed. And then they're not able to breathe all that well, so they have to breathe. So I can see where they're not going to be a good swimmer.
By the way, that comes from an article in Bulldogs World. Five things not to do with a bulldog. We could think of more than just the five listed there.
Right.
Dr. David Cloutier with the VZ Vet Clinic online at vzvet.com. If you got additional information that you need, bet you can find a whole lot of it right there. Thanks for being a part of our big program today. We won't see you before Turkey Day, but we probably should take just a moment and remind people not to feed the dog
the turkey. Also, put stuff away. When you go into the dining room to eat and you leave the turkey carcass on the counter and you come back and the dog's eating it, bad. Put stuff away before, or bring the dog with you, or do something, but don't let him eat so much. It's not good for him.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.